You know what I'm saying?
But that was good. That was perfect, because by you doing that and me looking down and realizing I hadn't turned my tape on. Cool. So unless you had it done, I might not have even noticed it, you know. Yeah. I like that about life.
I do too.
Okay, now, so when the Course says the ego, it's talking about the part of the mind that becomes afraid. The Course calls it the fearful part of the mind. Okay, that's the ego. It's the fearful thoughts in your mind. Do you have any?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's what the Course would define as the ego. It's not the classic definition that we learn in psychology. Okay? It's not even talking about that. And so it's trying to get us to understand that we're looking at two worlds. One world you look at through the eyes of fear, and there's another world you look at through the eyes of love. And those ways of seeing things actually produce a perception that gives you a physical reality that corresponds with it. So the Course is trying to teach us how the fearful mind operates so that we'll stop getting deceived and caught up in it. Everybody with me on that? Okay? The Course is trying to teach us how a fearful mind or the fearful mind operates so that we can stop going through the pain that comes from deceiving ourselves, which is where the Course says all pain comes from is fooling yourself. I want to stop fooling myself. So I need to learn what the rules are of fooling myself, which is what the Course says the world is. The world operates by rules of fear, so it's always deceiving us. Okay. I kind of talk for a minute until I want to make a point, dramatic point. Then I come back on. Okay. So in order for this paragraph to make any sense, I want you to just hang on that one thing. When it's talking about ego, it's just talking about the part of you that thinks that you're afraid. Okay? Okay, it says the ego is the part of the mind that believes in division. How could part of God detach itself without believing it's attacking God? We spoke before the authority problem is based on the concept of usurping God's power. The ego believes that you usurp God's power, that this is what you did, because your ego believes it is you. If you identify with your ego, you must perceive yourself as guilty. Whenever you respond to your ego, you will experience guilt and will fear punishment. So the ego is quite literally a fearful thought. However ridiculous the idea of attacking God may be to the sane mind, never forget that the ego is not sane. It represents a delusional system and speaks for a delusional system. Listening to the ego's voice means that you believe it's possible to attack God and that part of God has been torn away by you. Fear of retaliation from without follows because the severity of guilt is so acute that it must be projected. Now, how many of you all feel like you heard English, but you don't know what the hell I just got to do? Anybody?
Heard English.
Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles. The boy looked like he's speaking English. Those English words, I do not know what he just said. It's really alarming. It's alarming. It really is. It's alarming. It's alarming. Okay. That's what kind of piqued my curiosity about it when I first got into it, because I thought I had a black belt in books. You know, it's like, I look down at the Course of Miracles and what the hell is, you know. And then I try to read it and I don't care how peppy I was or how excited I was. I pick up the book and I go, the ego cannot approach. You know, sob running all down, drool coming out your mouth. You know, and it's like you'd be totally alert till you pick it up. You know, just knock you right out. So I knew something was up. I knew any book my mind was defending against this much might have something to say. So what we need to do now is I'll go back and read through that same paragraph just using the Course in Miracles definitions of the word. For instance, it already said the ego was a fearful thought. So I'll say, instead of the ego, I say a fearful thought or a fearful mind. Okay? And God, according to the Course in Miracles, is just simply love, real love, love that never ends, that's always there, you can always count on, there's nothing you can do to lose it. Real love, no bargains attached. Okay? So, that would be God, the love that created us, okay? So, when I go back through this, you'll see a big difference just through using fear and love. All of a sudden, it'll sound a lot more like English. The fearful mind is the part of your mind that believes in division. So the part of you that's afraid is the part of you that believes in division. And how could love detach itself without believing it's attacking love? So we spoke before the authority problem is based on the concept of usurping love's power. In other words, we have the ability to overthrow the power of the Creator. Of course, as we believe, we actually got the power to overthrow God's law, the laws of the universe. And so we're feeling guilty about that. Okay? And somehow or another, I have usurped God's power. Now, the course then said, a fearful man believes that that's what you did because the fearful part of you believes that is you. I thought that was interesting. The fearful part of you believes that is you. So here I am afraid, and I'll tell you, this person that's afraid called me, I'll say that's Earl. And this book is saying, no, the you that's afraid isn't Earl, but you think it is. So you are identifying with the part of yourself that is afraid and not identifying with the part of yourself that's love and unafraid. And that's what we call us, our latest concept of who we think we are in the moment. Right? So again, we don't have to agree with it. I'm just saying, I'm just sharing with you what it's saying, okay? Then it says, if you identify with your fearful thoughts, you will see yourself as guilty. So if I'm identifying with all the stuff that upsets me, I can tell when I'm identifying with the unloving thoughts about myself, because when I'm identifying with the unloving thoughts about myself, I am feeling guilty about something. So if I'm feeling guilty about something, then I'm listening to the unloving thoughts about myself in my mind. People don't choose to not to feel guilty if they think they did something great. So if you're feeling guilty, you think you've done something wrong. And the course is saying, well, that's coming from the part of your mind that's afraid, the part of you that doesn't know who you really are, who you identify with and say that's you and give it a social security number and stuff. Okay. Now, then it says, whenever you respond to your fearful thoughts, you will experience guilt and you will fear punishment. So when I'm listening to my fearful mind, when I'm listening to the part of me that's lost sight of the love, I can tell because I feel guilty, I'm afraid something's going to happen to me. I feel guilty, and I'm afraid something's going to happen to me. I must be listening to the part of my mind that's based in my fearful thoughts. Okay, then it says right here, the ego is quite literally, you see I'm not making this up, a fearful thought. So however ridiculous the idea of attacking God or love may be to a sane man, never forget that a man that is afraid is not sane. That's what the book says. The man that's afraid is not sane. Because a sane man only knows love. Only sees love, only experiences love, that's all he knows. So there's two worlds. One that a fearful man sees, one that a loving man sees, and they don't look like they exist to each one of them. So if you're talking to a really frightened, insecure, guilty person, then when you're talking really loving, peaceful thoughts, that doesn't mean anything to them. Because they're in conflict. You see, so they got a world that's reflecting their inner conflict. And you got a world that's not reflecting yours. So we go back and forth in our own mind between the two ways of seeing things and the two perceptions. That's why one minute you feel good, one minute you feel bad. What's really happening is more like if there's love on this side of your mind and fear on this side of your mind, one minute you're looking fearfully, one minute you're looking lovely, you're looking lovely, you're looking lovely, one minute you're looking fearfully, one minute you're looking lovely, lovely. See what you're doing? You're shifting back and forth between the two sides of your own mind, telling yourself that you're changing your mind about the same thing in front of you. You know, but you're really not changing your mind, you're switching your perception back and forth. I like you today because I see. I like you today because I'm thinking of something to make me like you today. I'm looking at you through the loving part of my mind. If I change my mind about you, then I look at you through the fearful part of my mind, and I create a whole different perception of you. So we're really making up what people are in our own minds. So that means everybody that you're interacting with is really just somebody you making up.
Daggum.
And that's why they can fool you sometimes and do things unpredictably. It's because they never were the thing you made them up to be in your imagination. Because your fantasy of them was just what you wanted to experience. But it had nothing to do with who they were. So in most cases, betrayal is just somebody not living up to my ideal of what I think they should have been for me according to the script I wrote for them about what they were supposed to do to make my life what it was meant to be. And I'm angry at them because they're not acting out the script that I've written for them to make me happy. And I forgive them one day. I will. I promise. I will forgive you for not letting me control you. I'm going to therapy for it right now. That's all you're doing. Just didn't act the way I wanted them to. And I'm just never going to, well, you know, they never were the thing you thought they were. which was under your control. That's what you thought they were. They weren't. That was your deception. See, that's what the ego does. It's the rules of how you fool yourself. So your ego is going to tell you to try to control somebody is how you would have love. But really, that's the way that you make sure that you lose the love, because love is freedom.
So do deception and perception go hand in hand?
Yeah, deception and perception goes hand in hand, because deception is just a perception that's incorrect.
I just thought of that when you said that word.
Yeah. Okay, and the reason why I'm saying it is because if we don't hear this great, it kind of get depressing if we don't understand it. This is just part one, okay? So the Course says that there's a part of your mind that represents a delusional system, and speaking for a delusional system. So there's a part of your mind that represents a system that's not true, and there's a part of your mind that's speaking for a system that's not true. So whenever you're listening to the voice that's not true, you believe it's possible to attack God, attack the Creator, or love, or that a part of love has been torn away from you, by you, and so you're afraid you've done something wrong, so the fear of retaliation from without is following you. What's following you? Man, I'm trying to get away from the fear of retaliation. Because it's following me. That's what I don't know about y'all, but it's like, I think my past is going to catch up with me. Right, so what I'm really afraid of is just like you said, I have fear of retaliation from outside. He said that follows. He said the reason why a person thinks that somebody's always out to get them is because their guilt is so severe, they are projecting their own, they feel so guilty, they are projecting their own guilt on everybody else, and now they're afraid that everybody else is out to get them. Because they know that they're attacking somebody for what they didn't do. So you feel guilty. You know what I'm saying? If I make up something about you and I don't really know if it's true, then part of me feel guilty about that, because it knows that that's not really right. It's not really, you know, we all know basically at some gut level right from wrong. We know it's really all about love, and it's really not about fear, separation, and attack. We all know that. And so every time we do anything the Course says that limits our own freedom, our own love, our own self-expression, you feel the guilt, but you think the guilt is coming from something you did on the outside, but what's happening is you're feeling the guilt of betraying yourself, because in some way you must not be being true to yourself right now. And that's where your guilt is really coming from, but you projected it on the fact that the friend of yours didn't pick you up when they said they were last night. So the more severe the guilt is, the more likely I'm going to project it on everybody else and attack everybody else. So part of my mind feels so bad about itself that it's trying to attack and judge everybody else around it to make me feel better. There's a part of my mind that loves to find stuff wrong with other people to make me feel better. There's a part of my mind that sees stuff about people to criticize and judge. That's part of my mind that likes to see flaws in people. Looks for them. Believe in them. Matter of fact, I don't trust you if I don't see your flaw quick. Right? Y'all with me? What I want to invite us to do is just to get real. Don't get spiritual. Don't get holy. Don't get into a truth class. Just get real. You know that there's a part of your mind that judges. Right? Okay, all right, okay. See, we'll get rid of that thought faster when everybody missed it, they got it. See, if everybody in the room got the same problem I got, somehow or another I don't feel as guilt about it. But when I think I'm by myself and my guilt, that's when it's most painful to me. And I found out that most people feel exactly what I feel, but they're pretending that they're not, so they can look like they're positive, so they won't create the stuff that their real beliefs are going to draw to them anyway. So you just trying to be positive without really changing your consciousness. There's nothing just like it's just sweeping poop under the rug. You know what I'm saying? It's something going to be smelling, but you're not going to be able to see it. that's what it is with a lot of people's lives. It's stinky, but they don't know why. You know, they're looking around, why is my life stinky? You know, it's because they're not being honest with themselves about the quality of their relationship with themselves. All right. Now, that was an intense paragraph. And I got, you know, my buddy out there. You know, he's got the getaway car warming up so I can get the hell out of here. But is everybody with me? Okay, any questions or comments about that one paragraph? But did you see, those of you with the books, that just by substituting fear, you get an entirely different paragraph? Yeah. That's the way the Koans is all the way. I think it's purposely written this way so that you won't speed read. You will take the time to really think about what you're being presented with. I don't know. It's just a theory of mine.
I've taken 10 years so far.
Yeah. Well, I've been working with it maybe 25 years on the 7th of November. And
you were just a baby.
That's right. Listen, I was a prodigy. I was sharpening the course out through my mama's navel when she was pregnant.
So, I bet you were.
Yeah, I was. That's all right. But really, my brothers and sisters did tell me they thought I was an extremely strange child. They really because I had brothers and sisters like 13 years older than me, 15 years older than me. And so they just say I was just, you know. Because they say every week I would memorize the entire TV guide. And then anybody who wants to know what was on any channel, all they did was ask me. And I remember that when they said it, you know. Because my nickname was Maine. So they said, Maine, what's coming on tonight at 5 o'clock on Channel 3? I said, you know, Superman.
You know. What they call you?
Maine. Because my mama called me Mama's Little Maine. Oh, so they have an AQI. Yeah. Did you know what the side effect of that? The side effect of that was I didn't feel comfortable feeling afraid and crying like a little boy would. So even to today, I have to watch not allowing little Earl, as I call it, to do his thing, because I always said, you mama's little man, you. And so on one hand it was empowering me, but on the other hand it made me feel like it wasn't okay to show any vulnerability or any weakness. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I know. People don't believe I used to be so shy that I would come in a room on my hands and knees going around the baseboard. and I wonder why people thought I was strange. So to sit up here in front of you and do this, this is a major achievement. It's a major achievement. You have no idea. It's a miracle. I had to change my mind to change my reality. Now I have to be as authentic and real as the people I want to have in my life. And that's what I'm working on right now. And it's a lot easier.
You're doing a good job.
It's so much easier.
Yeah.
It is so much easier than my old plan, which was to try to figure out what outside of me needed to change or who outside of me needed to change for me to be happy. That was my old plan.
Yeah.
Every day I'd get up and I'd figure out what was it outside of my own mind needed to change in order for me to be pleased today. And I kept doing that over and over again. If she just act different, if he just act different, if they just act different, if this just happened different, then I'll find a bit. When I get this bill paid, I'm going to be happy. When I lose 10 pounds, I'm going to be happy. When I get that new sweater I saw at the mall, I'm going to... You know, I was like watching. You know, it's like I'm watching. All of my happiness was dependent on temporary things outside of myself that wasn't going to last. And then I was wondering why I was being constantly disappointed. You know, it's like buying an ice cream cone and then forgetting that it's ice cream cone and then getting mad when it melts. You better lick that ice cream cone when you first get it. But that's not what we do. We get the ice cream cone and then we analyze it. Is it a good ice cream cone? Is it a bad ice cream cone? If I lick this ice cream cone, am I going to hell? If I eat this ice cream cone, would I gain 15 pounds? You know what I'm saying? We do everything but lick the doggone ice cream cone. Would you go ahead and lick the ice cream cone that is your life, because it's dripping. You know, it's dripping. It's dripping. So I'm through analyzing my life. I'm just gonna see.
It's dripping while we're tripping. You know what I mean? Is that right?
Yeah. And some of y'all in this room know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, you're at that point now, you just want to be happy. That's just it. You want peace in your life. You want it right now. I'm at a stage in the Course in Miracles where every lesson I have to learn is acted out for me. And also, the level I'm learning on right now, so I used to be like outside of it, watching it, and then trying to apply the truth to it. Now, I'm in the cartoon. And it's tripping me out. You know, I'm not watching it anymore. I'm in my life having to apply the truth to the circumstances in my life in order to have peace. I can no longer sit back and decide whether or not I want to believe it. It's like now I have to live the truth I've taught for so many years, because your subconscious mind produces your physical experience. So your physical experience is corresponding to your own subconscious beliefs. You with me for a second on that?
Oh, totally.
All right. So I've been taking these Course in Miracles thoughts in for a long time, into my conscience. I read this book over 90 times. Okay, into my conscience. So now, my physical reality has started to come back at me, all based on these principles. So guilt doesn't work for me anymore. Anger and attacking somebody doesn't work for me anymore, because I've been teaching that those things are not the things that work. So now I can't even use it. I'm trapped in the truth. I don't have that choice about whether or not I need to try to forgive. I don't even have that choice anymore. If I don't forgive, I hurt. Because my reality is a reality of love. And in a reality of love, fear doesn't, you know, it doesn't accomplish your goal. Attack doesn't accomplish your goal. You know, this is a trip, y'all. This is a trip. But it's so much easier when I was trying to control everything outside of myself in order to be happy, especially trying to change the people in my life that I felt close to. I'm so glad I'm retired. Oh, God. Whew. Man, it's like Course says, getting people to do what you want to do is nothing. Is analogous to a spinning top spinning round and round and round for a while, and then when it falls down, it can't get back up again. And that's where relationships start at. They start out spinning, and they turn off, you know, all of a sudden they're all over the place. You can't get them back together again. You know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't based on anything real. It was just based on your fantasy. And then the problem with a fantasy is that when you actually join, then you find out the reality of the relationship, and all the fantasies get exposed.
Wow.
That's why I prefer, if I go out with somebody, if I'm in my ego mind and I got a fantasy I want you to act out, I prefer that you didn't even talk to me too much about yourself, because I want to join with my fantasies about you in uninterrupted bliss. And whatever you say might be the opposite of my fantasies. See, now I'm getting upset. You know what I'm saying? So that's why a lot of people don't talk. They know if they talk, they're not going to be with each other. They know the minute they start having a conversation, that relationship is over. You know. And sometimes the physical aspects of the relationship are pleasurable enough to make you overlook your common sense for a while. You know, sometimes the breasts win.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
They do. But then I'm basing this on something that's temporary, that doesn't last. So sooner or later, that's going to reveal itself too, because there's a mind that comes with that body. And sooner or later, I'm going to have to deal with that mind.
I think you're past that.
That's where?
The breast.
I am. I really am.
I mean,
my thing now is the tip-top strand of your hair at the top of your head.
I thought it was the butt.
No, I'm over the butt now. Yes, I'm over the butt. I decided to like body parts that is easier to really make contact with, so I like ears, fingers, hands. Because everybody has to take your hand, you know what I'm saying? So I'm into the body parts that's accessible at all times. And I decided to be turned on by him. Because that way I figure my satisfaction would happen more often. I noticed when I went after the hidden stuff, it was always some kind of problem. I don't know about y'all, but the part of the body that's covered by clothes always seem to be bad news when you finally get to it. It's like you want to get to them, you get to them, and all of a sudden guilt starts, fear starts, you know. So I decided I'd just get into the parts of the body I didn't feel guilty about. So if you want somebody to touch your ear, I'm your man. Because, you know, because I can change my mind about what I like and start liking stuff that's accessible to me now. And stop being disappointed all the time. Because I used to think satisfaction was making up something I thought I didn't have and spending all my time trying to get it and being mad at everybody else for not helping me. And I was wasting a lot of time with that.
And then when you got it, you still weren't.
And then when you got it, you still weren't happy anyway. You know, so anyway, I try not to let the subject matter get in the way of what I had to say. So I'm going to paragraph 4. Oh, man. Okay. But I didn't give you a chance to ask some questions. Questions are great. Or comments. Anybody?
We're all overwhelmed.
Really?
So a lot of it's then about projection.
Thank you for sharing it. So what?
A lot of it then is projection. People out of fear are projecting.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. People out of fear are projecting. Exactly. See, if I'm around you and I feel fear when I'm around you, it means I probably have a distorted perception of you, and I don't really know you for who you really are. And so I realized I was afraid of a lot of people, which meant that I might be wrong about a lot of people. And so that means that I need to get out of my fear by having awareness, right? And so the best place to start would be to start asking questions of the people that I'm in relationships with, like, what do you want? What's important to you? What do you value? What do you like? What ticks you off? What turns you on? What's pleasurable to you? What goal do you want? What do you want to do? See, that way you know you want to get laid.
Yeah.
Okay. First, you have to state it to the universe, which you just did so appropriately.
Remember that one time.
And your course says, what you do, instead of asking for the physical thing, give me an answer, because getting laid is not a bad desire. Okay. All right. Now, you would ask for the correct perception of getting laid. Uh-huh. That's what the course says. The reason why you haven't gotten laid is that you don't interpret it right.
That's for sure.
Okay.
I know that.
So you need a new interpretation of that.
I need a reinterpretation.
Yeah, you need a reinterpretation. Yeah, more than once.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else?
I think for me what helps, Earl, is I used to recognize the world was neutral, but also all the people are.
Yeah.
And so it's only the spin we put on them, just like we put on other things in the world.
The Course says one of the ways you can tell the ego is nothing but an illusion is that you can have a perception of somebody in your own mind. Think about them in your own mind and change your mind about them in your own mind. You know what I'm saying? You think about your mama and all of a sudden you tell yourself something about your mama, and then you change your mind about what you told yourself about your mama. You know, in other words, you're making up your mama in your mind. So I don't really know anybody in this room. All I know of anybody in this room is what I'm making up about them right now. All you know about me right now really is what you're telling yourself about me right now. That's really all you know about me right now. And then this is the trip. What you're telling yourself about me is based on what you want to believe. Now, if you want to join with me, if you appreciate me, then you're going to give yourself an interpretation of me that's going to make you feel like you want to be closer to me. If you're afraid of me, then you're going to interpret everything I do today as a justification for you never coming back around me again. But you're the one that's determining the Earl that you're receiving by the decision you made about Earl at the very beginning. And that's none of my business. I don't have nothing to do with that. And that's what freed me up as a teacher. You know what I'm saying? Is when I really, I used to get really caught up in how people saw me. You know, and I realized that no matter what I did, there was going to be two reactions to me. Somebody was going to decide that I was okay, and then no matter what I did, they were going to make it okay. And then somebody was going to decide I don't like this little party guy. And if I was really, really nice, they're going to say, well, that's just deceptive. He's just trying to get your money. Or if he acts really gruff, you say, well, he's really, you know, not very, very loving. But really, your perception of me came after your decision about what you wanted out of me. And that's where perception works all the time. That's where you make the decision first about what you want to see, and then your perception arranges everything to make that decision seem like it was true, even to the point of excluding anything that would be contradictory to that idea. So you don't even see where you're making a mistake, because that's part of the whole editing process. Is you're going to edit everything out other than what agrees with the way you already want to see it. Nothing else what you hear. That's deep. Yeah.
But there are people out there. I think there are people that are manipulative, that will sometimes try and manipulate me or. Interact with me in a way that's hurtful. Now, what do I do if am I creating? I must be creating those people, but then how do I want to avoid them? Do I want to change my perception about some people? No matter how I change my perception, they don't change.
Which is the way of letting you know that you haven't changed your perception of them for real. Because that's changing my perception and thinking I've changed my perception. The physical reality always presents you with what you're actually doing, or what you're actually doing. That's what I love about physical reality. Physical reality just gives you a physical, three-dimensional example of what you really believe, as opposed to what you think you believe. which is two different things. Because if I was really changing my mind, it wouldn't even matter if you didn't change. And that would be how I knew I had changed my mind. Because you no longer became so important to me that I would use you to block my peace. You know, so it's not anymore about can I get the people in my life to change. It's about can I have a perception that will keep my peace no matter what they acting like.
Yeah.
And can I have the awareness to just go the other way? Just go the other way, okay? So I love the questions, you know. And again, you don't have to agree with me. I'm not saying the way I look at it is the only way to look at it. I'm not saying it at all. But it's just I'm just letting it come through me the way it comes through me.
Mm-hmm. I know you always. Never mind. So.
See, that would have been a judgment, right?
I know.
When you caught it. Okay.
Yeah.
But I remember a time I wouldn't have caught it. But you caught it. You were getting ready.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
good.
You lied to me. Okay. I still want to join with him. You lied to me. Sooner or later, I'm going to see you as a liar. And if that's all my projection, then my silly way of thinking thinks that I'm controlling them, which I can't control them. All I can control is me.
But you're not doing a very good job of that. If you're not willing to interpret them in a way that allows you to keep your peace, because it's obvious that the interpretation that you're using of them is upsetting you. And you have other choices of other ways
so
that you could see it.
The solution is to walk the other way.
As soon as you can, but the first solution is to recognize that the way that you're feeling about it has nothing to do with the external situation. The way that you're feeling about it is coming from what you are telling yourself about the external situation. That's the one idea that's important to get if you ever want to have internal peace. It has nothing to do with figuring out, okay, somebody swindled me. Okay, I hope next time I'll have much more awareness to not create that for myself. And how can I give myself peace about the fact that I lost $10,000 on a bum deal? Because that's the only thing that matters, is that I want to feel peace again. And the only way for me to have peace again is to tell myself something different from the things that upset me. There's no point on the spiritual path that I can keep telling myself stuff that upsets me and think it's going to make me feel peace. Which is what I used to think it was. It was like taking a situation I didn't like and then trying to change it into something that I did like. I thought that was the spiritual path. Taking a person that I didn't like and seeing if I can get to the place that I love. And the Course is saying, no, you want to get to the place that you can see the thing in them, that loving them would be a natural thing to do. So it's no effort on your part. But you got to admit that you have a misperception because you're upset and ask your higher self to give you another way to look at them so that you can be free from this conflict. Because the person you're upset about doesn't know it, doesn't fit it in most cases, and don't care, and is probably having a great time partying while you've decided you're never going to have another relationship again because of the way they treated you. So so what I'm saying is as soon as you can let go of the idea that it's about you trying to change anybody else, that's when your peace is going to come. I didn't say that was when your mama was going to stop spitting on the floor if that's what she did. I didn't say that. That's nothing we teach in here that's about the physical outside world. Everything the Course in Miracles is teaching is about how to change our interpretation of it so that we can keep the peace of mind necessary to hear our inner guidance, which will give us specific instructions about the situation we're wondering about. Because your inner guidance can tell you exactly what to do with the guy that swindled you. That wouldn't be anything I could tell you in the class. But your inner guidance could tell you how to do that. But the book is telling us it's not until you are willing to see it differently that you can have the peace of mind that allows you to hear the master's voice.
So if I said, he swindled me, and it was worth being swindled for the peace of mind that I get from having it over with. Is that
that's a start. And that's just because what you're saying is that you know the situation in itself is for whatever reason has been handled, and now I can start to move towards the direction of peace. Yeah, that's a great start.
Okay.
Especially if there's nothing you said that looks like you can change about it on the external side. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing that I hope my friends will do for me is to keep always subtly steering me back to the realization that the way that I'm feeling at any moment, I'm the one that's just choosing to feel that way because I'm the one that's interpreting the situation. Now, there'll be some situations it looks like I can externally go out and manipulate, and there'll be some situations that will look just like the situation in Iraq. You know, all I know is I want peace. And so my goal of peace, I let that determine what I do from moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. But as far as me at a physical level, being able to get in my car and go to Iraq and say, hey, this dissatisfies me, stop. Okay, that ain't gonna happen. So either I can change my perception of Iraq and give myself some peace, or I can keep getting upset because I can't change the situation in Iraq. See, in the end, my peace is coming from me and not from anywhere else.
So are you saying then, if we allow ourselves to plug into that perception that doesn't exist, that, you know, I mean, we create, and so therefore we buy into that,
mm-hmm.
that becomes our reality,
mm-hmm.
versus unplugging ourselves and being true to ourselves and honoring that and allowing somebody else to be themselves and being one.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
There's a lot of things we plug into that don't serve us at all.
And then the Course says, basically, you know, it's hard for people to find a self that they don't like and that they want to kill if they could catch up with it anyway for not making them as special as they wanted to be. And I thought that was funny. It's like, if you hate yourself, why would you want to find it? That's why people, that's why everybody says, I'm trying to find myself. I know, you're trying to find yourself and you really don't want to. Because, you know, because if your perception of yourself was great, you'd be loving yourself right now. So obviously the self you're trying to find is not a self that you really believe is so cool to begin with. So why would I not try to find myself, but try to find all of y'all? And then get all of y'all to make me happy, because y'all better than me. Well, I don't want to deal with me.
True.
See, the minute, it's a funny thing about self-love. The minute you start loving yourself, you want to eat right. The minute you start loving yourself, you won't want to be in a relationship that you're arguing and fussing and fighting all the time. It just comes natural. It's like, I want peace. Oh, this is not peace. Oh, I got to do something different. Got to get out of here. Got to change this. Got to go. You know, why? Because the Course says that once you start getting back in touch with your power, your true nature, your true spiritual nature, that you can't tolerate manner intrusions of discomfort the way you used to. Because you know you deserve not to be suffering all the time. But when you think you deserve to suffer, you think you're strong by the more suffering you can handle. So you actually come on suffering because it's making me stronger. That's because this is a person who has a lot of tolerance for pain. But somebody who has no tolerance for pain, they'll immediately do whatever's necessary not to be in pain as quick as they possibly can. Y'all know what I'm saying? They're telling you the truth. Yeah. So it's much smarter to not want to be in pain than try to work on being able to handle pain well.
Yeah.
You know, I want a state of mind that doesn't attract it. I want a state of mind that doesn't attract a mugger. I want a state of mind that doesn't attract a swindler, because that swindler came into your life because you're swindling yourself every time you deny yourself the beautiful life that you deserve because you're a child of God. So all the swindler was really doing at a metaphysical level, saying, Deanne, where are you swindling yourself?
Yeah, I know that.
You know, but if you knew that, you wouldn't be upset with the guy who seemed to swindle you. That's how you can tell if you really know something. If you really know something, you're in peace. Okay, do you see what I'm saying? Of course, it's peace and understanding go together. If you really understand, you go straight to peace. And that's how I stopped fooling myself with the Course, because I would always say that. I know that. Who else got the I know that thing? You know, I know that. And the Course is saying, no, you don't. You know, that's why the lesson is, I do not know anything. Because if you really knew, you wouldn't be going through the problem. If you really knew, you'd be happy. If you really knew, you'd have peace. You don't know. You're entertaining an idea that you haven't applied to yourself yet. That's not knowing. Isn't that deep? I can look at the toothbrush all day long, but it's not until I pick up and brush my teeth I actually done anything. But it's like, we like look at the toothbrush and get mad because our teeth still dirty. You know, it's like I'm looking at this book and then I'm mad. I'm looking at the Course in Miracles book for 6 months of my life, still crap. You know, okay? It's like, that's like me saying, I've been looking at this toothpaste for 6 years and I'm wondering why I got all these cavities. You with me?
Yeah.
So that's how ego fools us at a spiritual level. I think because we read a book and we can make a statement, that somehow that means we come to some real realization or acceptance of that statement. And so when we hear it, we'll say, I know that. No, you should say, I've heard that. That would be the accurate response to me.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Oh, did I create my own experience? I've heard that, but I'm not going to say I know that. Because if I knew that, how could I possibly have a problem that's upsetting me? Because I just changed it.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that the difference between experience in many cases versus a perception of knowing? Because, like you say, we'll see something and think we know it. But until you experience it, sometimes the experience can be so different from what you read. We're so caught up in,
And that's what the Course says, man. My man, it says that I can't give you a universal theology, but we can have a universal experience. I like to use a more mundane example that, you know, I bet you everybody in here within the last week peed.
Just a minute.
I bet you anything. That's a universal experience. It don't have nothing to do with our religion, our background, our race. You know what I'm saying? That's what the Course keeps telling us. If you will follow these instructions, whether you believe it or not, I will give you an experience of the love and the happiness and the peace that you're seeking. And then once you have an experience of it, you will believe in it. And then when you believe in it, you know you're going to see it all the time. So why don't I take, I'm trying to give you the shortcut. I'm trying to give you the experience of love.
You bet.
So that when you walk out of the room, then you'll say, wow, I was there and I felt like it was really cool. You had the experience of it. So you believe in it, and then you manifest it more and more. We're trying to do it the hard way. We're trying to take an idea and then try to make ourselves believe it until it happens. You know, I'm trying to take the idea of love and say I want to believe in the idea of love until the idea of love happens. The Course is saying, well, no. Why don't I give you the experience of being loved? And then you then know it's possible because you've experienced it. Then you'll believe in it. Then you'll have it. But my analytical mind goes, no, I want to figure it out first. Don't you just give me the $1 million. I want to figure out how to get it first. As an analogy. You know what I'm saying? Don't give me the love. I got to figure this out. Now, what you said over here, paragraph 7, it didn't correspond to paragraph 2 over here. And it's really funny. It's really funny. Because now, what is it? You said that I could have all of my mistakes corrected and my life totally healed. But that contradicts, see, why would I want to argue with that idea? All I'd be going is, I share that idea. That all my problems could be solved without effort and very easily right now. That's what the Course taught me to do. Says to believe something means to accept and to side with, not to be credulous. Quote. And we think to believe means, okay, I'm going to see if Earl is credible and what he's saying is credible and what the Course is saying is credible. And if I can make it credible, then what he said is right. Then I believe him. The Course says, nah, that's not belief. Belief is, I heard that brother say something that I want to believe too. I heard that brother say something that I want to give some energy into. I want to side with that belief. That's what I believe you means. You know, I make a promise to you, and then you say you believe me. What I'm saying to you is, I'm siding with the idea of you keeping this promise that you just made. You might not be able to do it, but I'm siding with the idea. It don't mean, I believe it don't mean I believe that you'll never make another mistake. So now I've got to judge you if you made a vow to me and you broke it. And see, now I'm mad at you. But if I said, but you made a vow to me and I said, I believe it from a correct mind perspective, it would be the same as me saying, I'm siding with this idea that you are sharing with me. See, that still leaves room for you to be human. You might be able to pull it off all the time. You might not. But me believing you had nothing to do with whether or not I believe you could keep that vow forever. Believing you had everything to do with siding with the idea of the vow that we're making together.
And doesn't it clearly someplace in the beginning of the course, I know this impressed me, it's an individualized course, but it's experiential.
We all are going to individually have the same experience. But we're going to do it in our own individual way. And so the best way for me to get Judy's curriculum would be to say, Judy, what did you want? What's your purpose? You know, like somebody come up and ask you to go out, you should say, what for?
No, hell no, I'd just be writing my number down.
And that's why 99% of the people that we know are trying to get out of relationships they're in that are unhappy in them. It's just what you said. They gave them the phone number without knowing what their purpose was. Because I didn't care about your purpose. All I saw was an opportunity to achieve mine. So I didn't ask you about yours. See, I want a relationship. And so you said, let's go out, here's the phone number. See, I didn't ask you why you walked up and asked me for my phone number. What was it about me that made you want to come over and say something to me in the first place? You know what I'm saying? And if you don't know who you are, then you won't know whether or not what the person is telling you is the truth. But if you know who you are, then you know when you're hearing something contradictory to what's natural for you. And so you don't enter into the relationship that causes you pain to begin with. Because you know yourself. I can use mundane examples because they bring the point home. You know, I only eat onions. Okay? I know myself. You walked up to me and you told me you hate onions. Well, if I know myself, then I know not to get into that intimate relationship that's going to create that challenge between us from the very beginning. Now, somebody who loves to be in conflict and drama, they're going to say, well, why don't you go ahead and get in it anyway? Because that's going to give you the opportunity to grow. I heard that one all the time. You just not do the stuff that all come easy. You're just not going to be strong. You're like, okay. All right, buddy. You can have it. Because what you just said is, I believe life needs to be a struggle and a strain in order for me to grow. And then all of a sudden, you got all these problems you complain about, and you don't even know you asked for the problems because you believe that you need to have struggles to grow. That's why you're struggling. Isn't that deep? That's a trip, man. So with this particular section that we're talking about, the only experience, the only point that I want to make before I shut down on this one is that when you're feeling that guilt, when you're feeling like you're going to be punished, when you're feeling like something's going to hurt you that's unexpected, he says, realize that's not coming from your real self. That's coming from your ego. That is your ego trying to frighten you. It's your way of getting in touch with the fact that you've lost sight of the truth for a minute, and you need to get back into the truth because you've forgotten what the truth is, which is that you could never be a victim to any situation that you're in. That there's a way out no matter what the situation is. You can never be trapped, or you wouldn't be afraid. So you've lost sight of the basic truth about yourself as a child of God. All right.
I wanted to say something.
Uh-huh.
I think one thing that you've taught me, mm-hmm. or I've learned from you, or whatever happened,
mm-hmm.
is about joining minds. Because
mm-hmm.
I always wanted to smash bodies.
She's talking about joining minds.
Huh?
She's saying that the idea of joining minds, that was one thing that you saw as being really powerful.
Yeah. But in all the years that I've been coming here, instead of, because I always wanted to smash bodies together.
Right.
And now I'm at the point where very clearly,
I would invite you not to feel guilty about any past body smashing.
Oh, I know.
Okay. I mean, really, that's what a lot of people have a lot of guilt about, stuff like that. I don't mind people bringing up things related to sex, money, auto mechanics, anything. I'm not censoring my class. So I'm glad when people say whatever is on their mind, because that's the kind of people I want to draw to my class. I want to draw real people. That's what I want to draw. And real people know that sex is a part of life, the postman is a part of life. You know, so you're
Yeah. I forgot to mention.
Well, that's what I say. Forgive yourself.
I will.
Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself.
It's been really helpful to me. A couple weeks ago, you were saying, talk to yourself like, this is my ego making me do stuff. And when I get in that crazy mind, I start going, this is my ego that's making me fearful. This is my ego that's making me do this. And just to stop and kind of, that's a good way for me to be able to kind of go outside and talk to it without just pushing it under the rug, but realize it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that. And saying it out loud to myself.
I'm really and truly from the bottom of my heart, I'm sharing what I want to remember. Mm-hmm. Because in this world, if we don't say this, we don't usually hear it. You know what I'm saying? So to me, the purpose of these classes is to get together to share ideas that we want to make stronger and talk about the stuff that we don't get a chance to talk about so it can become stronger. This is really, it's almost like an aerobics class. I call it spiritual aerobics. We come here to exercise ideas so that they can become stronger. By sharing ideas like, there is a fearful part of my mind, and that's what's making me afraid, but there's another part of my mind that can see it another way that I won't be afraid. You see what I'm saying? It's like we need to be sharing those kind of ideas with each other. You know, and rather than analyzing whether or not the idea is true, we should be strengthening the ideas we would want to be true. You know, I would want that to be true even I don't know how to do it. You know. Okay, so I'm going to do the love offering. Thank you for sharing with me in my full-time work with the course. That's how I support myself in the world through the Holy Spirit. So thank you for those of you who share money with me. Appreciate that. And it's a portion of it is absolutely shared with Unity Temple. And this beautiful place is here for us. And I thank you, the universe. I thank you for everything. I thank you for everything. I thank everybody in this room for everything that they share. And I got one little thing that I want to review on. I want to manifest and what your curriculum is. And if it's a loving, which I know it would be, I don't expect anybody to walk to me and say, Earl, you know, I'm getting ready to bump my mother-in-law off. I need some support. You know. So I'm assuming when you share your divine plan, it won't include prison time. You know what I'm saying? But I might be listening to the wrong voice if I'm trying to bump my mother-in-law. You kind of tell the ego playing. Like people say that, you know, I want to kill all my children. Was that the Holy Spirit? No, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. Because like they're trying to figure out which voice it is talking to me. You know, it's not that complicated. Okay. I'm available for one-on-one personal sessions. And I think they're helpful and powerful. And I can bring all these years of studying the course and counseling into a period in your life to discuss something that's happening in your life. And that's called a clarity session. And I'm available for that. Okay, any announcements before I... That's okay. You're still cute.
Carrot cake out there.
There is? I want the pumpkin. I've been wanting pumpkin.
Okay, we're getting ready for a quick review. So what I ask you to do, kind of like to let it in, is like just close your eyes for a minute and just focus on the sound of my voice, if you don't mind. So just go anywhere you want to go. Because we're going to send out an SOS. Okay? Together. We're going to all send out. We're sending out an SOS. I want you to contact your higher loving self. I know it seems like it's been on vacation. I heard your higher self was back, ready to bring you some peace. But you got to hear about your ego. You got to hear about your ego. You have got to hear about your ego. Are you really?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to run through it one more time. But we're sending out an SOS. Spirit. Oh, spirit. The fearful part of your mind believes in the separation and the upset that you are sometimes going through. If you think you ran away from God, from love, you might feel like you are in trouble. And so you feel guilt and you don't know why. The Course is saying it's because you think you've done something wrong. That at some level... We're sending out an SOS to spirit. Oh, spirit. If you're listening to the wrong voice, you can tell because you will be feeling guilty, angry, or afraid. When you're listening to the unloving voice within yourself, you will experience guilt and you will become afraid of punishment. The ego is quite literally a fearful thought. The ego is 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 a guilty thought. The ego is an angry thought. The ego is a lack thought. The ego is a sickness thought. The ego is a murderous thought. The ego is a fearful thought. The ego is a fearful thought. You got to let go of the idea that you can ever do anything to block the love that you deserve as a creation of God. I say, you have to let go of any belief that could tell you that you could do anything thing that couldn't be helped or solved by the higher power within you. You have to let go of the idea that you could make a mistake that is so bad that it couldn't possibly be healed. You have to make a decision at some point that you are going to stop listening to the fearful, angry part of your mind. The ego is a fearful thought. 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 The ego. Now the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a loving thought. 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 So when you're listening to your real self, you will feel inspired. Inspired means to be in spirit. When you feel inspired, you are being in your spirit. When you feel inspired, you are being in your feelings. Happiness is an internal matter. Your happiness is an internal matter. Your happiness is an internal matter. Your happiness is an internal matter.
Whoa. Love me,
ain't I? Amen.
Amen.
See y'all next time.